We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Trenton, and we'll be talking spring sports during today's show as we've got softball and baseball underway. Indoor track and field had a good weekend as well. Tennis, fresh off their spring break trip. They had a match on the men's side yesterday in Ottawa, so it should be what could be considered a good time for Bearcat tennis. And also golf is underway this week as well, competing in an invitational hosted by Central Missouri.
Yeah, the Bearcats actually playing right now, day two, at the Mules National Golf Course out there in Warrensburg. The Bearcats, as a team at this point, currently in fifth, or I should say tied for fifth right now, 47 over as a team. And so they had to deal with some gusty winds, some not great weather for golfing out there yesterday, but still pushing forward. And, you know, John, we talked a lot in this show about Paige Hoffman, Madeline Schlafer, and those seniors and what they do, but Bearcats being led so far in this tournament by Lauren Briggs and Lexi Bartlett, those two freshmen playing well so far. Bartley right now is tied for 17th. She's at 10 over for the tournament. Meanwhile, Lauren Briggs has actually climbed up a bit. She's currently tied for second right now at 9 over for the tournament. So she's playing well and getting some stuff done. So obviously if some freshmen are playing well, you know those seniors are going to come around. So that looks pretty good there for Coach Croy and company.
And what a job they're doing in really tough conditions. Well, the wind down there, I think, much similar to what it's been here. And maybe working and practicing out Mazingo is an advantage when you go out and play some of these other courses where they have a little bit of wind, because you know the wind out at Mazingo sometimes can be a little bit rough.
You know, if you can handle playing in Maryville in your practice rounds, you can probably handle playing at just about anywhere. You think about, you know, going out to Kearney, Nebraska, or if you're playing out around Hayes or down in Oklahoma, a lot of different conditions coming at you. But here the Mules National Golf Course in Warrensburg is a very nice course. Central Missouri is one of the top teams, not only in the region, but in the country. And they consistently churn out some great results. So for Lauren Briggs to be tied for number two, and she's only trailing a golfer right now from Nebraska, Kearney, that's saying something that it's, you're right there with all the Jennies and everybody from UCM playing well. So the Bearcats are making strides there on that golf side.
I know last week you talked with Andy Peterson, Northwest Athletic Director, about a wide variety of things. But, of course, the women's golf, one of the topics last week, and he's really high on what this team has to offer this season.
Yeah, I think that he's really pleased with what Lathan Croy is doing. Of course, Lathan played at North Central Missouri College. He's a local guy from out in Trenton, then coming over to Northwest Missouri State to finish up. But he's been around the program for quite a while now, from student assistant now to the head coach, and able to just dedicate a little bit more time and some resources getting in there and working one-on-one with those players right now. And I think it's paying off to where he's a guy that he's going to get you where you need to be, but it seems like the mental side of the game is so big in golf that he knows when to step in and say something to a player, also when to back off and kind of pull back a little bit. And so we've seen some great results, obviously brought in some really good athletes. And so looking forward to seeing that program continue to get better and better.
Well, it was kind of a rough weekend for softball and baseball this past weekend, but they didn't have to wait too long to get back out there as they're both involved in games coming up today.
That's good and bad, though, right? I mean, you think about it from a baseball perspective, Pittsburgh State's a really good team, and the Bearcats had to go down to Pittsburgh. The game on Friday got washed out, so you get the doubleheader Saturday and a couple tough games. They end up getting swept on Sunday. So pitching-wise, it's one of those things, just trying to find those arms you can rely on and continue to push along. Well, now you've got a midweek game after playing, you know, three within the last 4 days, and it's kind of similar to the previous week when the Washburn series got moved and you swept it, but then you played the very next day when that got done at William Jewell. And so thankfully the Bearcats at home today against UCM at 2 o'clock first pitch. We've got great weather out there today, but it's one of those things you're trying to sort out and find where the innings are going to come from right now for Northwest. And it has been an uphill battle. The schedule really hasn't helped things out in that regard. So get done with this one and then turn around and back home this weekend with Arkansas Fort Smith coming to town. So hopefully Coach Jander and company can navigate the innings and the bullpen can work well, but it's not easy right now.
You know, we'll talk more with Coach Jander about this later on in the show, but they played a predominantly road schedule up to this particular point, but you're looking beginning today, 8 out of the next 9 games will be at home, and that one game is just down in St. Joseph against Missouri Western when they're on the road. So, you know, a great opportunity for fans to get out and watch some Bearcat baseball now.
Yeah, and I think they're bringing a really good brand to it. Again, the pitching they're trying to navigate through, and they'll get through that as we go throughout the season. But the hitting, especially at home, I mean, they have come up with some guys that they've got some power. They're playing small ball really well, too. And they've had some clutch moments to where when they've had those opportunities, some runners on in the eighth, ninth innings and beyond, they found a way to come through. So it's been an exciting brand of baseball so far to this point. You mentioned that game down in St. Joseph. That's a struggling Missouri Western team. It'd be great to see some grain get down to St. Joseph and take that one in and cheer on the Bearcats to a victory. But, you know, it all starts today. Central Missouri comes to town. Everybody knows the reputation they have on the baseball diamond and how they are. So this will be a tough one for Northwest Missouri State. But I think in this league, and considering how many more teams from the South are being added in, that makes that baseball and softball schedule that much harder, because while the Bearcats are practicing indoors, they're getting outside a lot earlier, able to develop things a little bit quicker. So we'll just kind of see how it goes. But a great opportunity for Northwest to continue playing good baseball at home.
Well, the road between Maryville and Warrensburg getting worn out here today. You've got softball heading down to Warrensburg. The Gophers already in Warrensburg. The Mules baseball team from Warrensburg coming up here today. So it's going to be kind of a Central Missouri Northwest kind of day.
You know, you might just call it a Mark Rosewell kind of day, of course. kind of a legend both at Central Missouri and here to Northwest Missouri State. Yeah, softball, just like golf down there, and the Mules coming up here for baseball. The Bearcat softball team heading down to see the Jennies for a doubleheader, 3 and 5 o'clock. The first pitches for those games coming up a little bit later on today. Tough weekend for Northwest when you think about losing 2 to Rogers State, who's ranked 6th in the country heading into last weekend. And then a couple tough losses to Northeastern State there on their home field. Dealt with some tough weather throughout. But you know the one thing about it, like, they're in every game. And they're sitting there battling. They're tight. The 1-12-7 loss, they gave up an 8-run inning to Rogers. Battled back, had the bases loaded, just couldn't quite get that big hit to kind of pull things out there as that 12-7 loss went on. But, you know, you're seeing little glimpses. And we'll hear from Coach Tejas here coming up in just a little bit, but it's finding that one key moment, that time to get that hit, maybe something to kind of break the floodgates open. So they're hoping they can go down and beat up on the Jennies and head things in the right direction, because they've got 2 on the road today. Doubleheader in Fort Hays on Friday, doubleheader at Nebraska Kearney on Saturday. So a pretty tough stretch this week for the Bearcats before they return home at the end of the month.
You talk about Mark Rosewell, the tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State. His team's coming off their southern trip over spring break. They ended up on the men's side, I think, 5-5, women now 4-4, and they played some nationally ranked teams here in the past week or so as they get back into MIAA play here. So they're not afraid to go out and play some top competition.
Yeah, they really kind of got a good test there throughout that spring break trip. And you know, fortunately, both of those teams were able to come home with a couple of victories, too, wrapping things up against Southeastern Oklahoma State. And, you know, you think about how both of them able to get it done, playing really well in singles despite battling tough in doubles there. So coming back with some momentum, the Bearcat men got a nice win yesterday over Ottawa, and now kind of rolling that momentum into this weekend, too. So you like to see Coach Rosie going out there and not sitting back and just trying to find cupcakes, but putting his team up against some really good teams from Texas and Oklahoma through spring break.
And finally, basketball-wise, the NCAA Division II regionals underway, although unfortunately this year Northwest not represented either the men's or women's regionals, but the MIAA doing pretty well right now.
Yeah, Pittsburgh State, you know, the women's side, they overcame deficits in both the second-round game and last night's region championship, but they were able to down Southwest Minnesota State. They punched their ticket to the Elite Eight, so good for Amanda David and company there with Pittsburgh as they'll move on to the Elite Eight coming up next week. And then on the men's side of things, Washburn men still battling on. They got a good win over Concordia St. Paul in the second round. And now it is a 7 o'clock tip-off tonight against Minnesota State Moorhead. So we'll see if anybody can keep up with these Ichabods. You know, we got to see them firsthand a couple times, and just the pressure defense, the really good guard play, some good post players inside. So when they get up and go, they can roll. It's just a matter of if you can keep up and score with them. That's when we've seen them have a few issues there of maybe not ding it up quite as intensely as they should at times throughout this season. So we'll see if Moorhead can hang around. Of course, we think about Minnesota State Moorhead in a region championship. Takes us back up to Sioux Falls, South Dakota with Justin Pitts, Ben McCollum, and Northwest Missouri State going against Moorhead. And I believe that was a 47-42 loss in that Sweet 16 before the Bearcats eventually broke through there in that 2017 Elite Eight in that run they had there. But we've seen Morehead, and we saw just a knockdown, drag-out defensive battle, and I don't think that will be the case tonight.
I think you're right there. And speaking of Ben McCollum, he's got some former Bearcats still playing some basketball.
Yeah, on to the NCAA tournament there. The Division I side, Drake will meet up with the Missouri Tigers 6:35 on Thursday night down in Wichita. So I'm sure a good contingent heading down. And, you know, you think about Mitch Mascari. Yeah, those guys got in my head, too. Mitch Mascari and Isaiah Jackson, Bennett Sturts, Daniel Abreu, and what those guys did for Northwest Missouri State for so long. You can't help it, regardless of where they're at and where they're at in their lives, you're going to wish them the best. And so it'll be good to see those guys get some of that recognition on a different stage. You know, we're used to seeing them play this time of year, the D2 level, and so we'll see what they can do Thursday night. But we talked about it before. Missouri's got a 7-footer. Daniel Abreu was shut down a skilled 7-footer before. That was with the Bearcats beating Augusta in a national championship a few years back. So we'll see what the Drake Bearcats have up their sleeve this weekend.
I like that. That's a good way to put it there. Yeah. Again, we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and Altar and Home. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we are getting things rolling here with Northwest Missouri State Track and Field, wrapping up the indoor season this previous week with the national championships, and then on to the outdoor season, which is coming up this upcoming weekend. We're joined by head coach Brandon Masters, also assistant coach Whit Cunningham. Appreciate you guys coming on and chatting with us. And Coach Masters, will start here. 20 All-Americans able to go out there and perform well, both on the men's and the women's side. The men finishing fifth, best since 1987, I think. Just your overall takeaway of the weekend and the trip out to Indianapolis.
It was a great trip, great venue, amazing performances across the board in so many events through all people. We had some great things happen. Obviously, finishing fifth on the men's side was fantastic. Our best showing since I've been here anyway. So was seventh a couple of years ago, sixth, now fifth. We're trending up, which is good. We had a lot of fun. I had some personal bests, some school records. We actually set some all-time Division II bests, but we got beat in the same race, so we didn't take that one. But it was a great trip. I think the kids had a blast, and we got to bring home a lot of trophies.
So just to do the math right, are we booking 2030 national championship? Improved by one every year, right?
Yeah.
We'll tentatively put that one down.
Right.
Coach Cunningham, to go out there and have so many Bearcat athletes take part in that and just kind of experience that, especially the ones that have the chance to come back the next year, and of course, so many moving on to the outdoor championships too. But how important is that to kind of get into a championship atmosphere, be around some other great athletes, and kind of absorb just that moment overall?
Yeah, I think it's really crucial, and you can start at the conference level working backwards even and be like, there's a lot of kids at that meet that just need that experience to start with. Then you can look at the national championships, and people are just needing that experience as well. And then that next time you're there, the next time you're in a big situation, big meet, big environment, it's like, it's not new. It's certainly still exciting. It's certainly a little scary, but it's a lot more manageable that second time around.
Well, Coach Masters, you mentioned there breaking an all-time record, but still finishing, second, third in the 4x400. your men were flying. And the Bearcats, I think at this point, both men and women are kind of known for the 400 and the 4x400. But take us through that relay that you saw Northwest absolutely flying out there.
Yeah, it was great. You know, the kids knew what was on the line, and we would have liked to have been, you know, liked to have been first or second for team points and moved up a spot. We missed out on a fourth spot by just a few points. They had it. They worked really hard in each leg and had some great moves, great positioning, and unfortunately came up just a little short on winning our heat. But then the time came up. I was like, well, that's pretty fast. So Lincoln ran really well, and we couldn't get him on the day. And then Pitt came back the next heat, the final heat, and beat both us and Lincoln. So, but to run that fast, I mean, 3:08.1 is flying. Unbelievable performance for those guys, and it was fun to watch. And then our ladies, on the other hand, you know, we ran the best time of the year. It was a great heat. We had some great splits and competed well, and to barely make the meet. Remember, we had to run at conference to even make the meet. And we got in, and I think we're ninth or so going into the meet, and to finish fifth overall. I don't think we could have went to but maybe one spot higher in fourth. The first, second, third ran really well. So I think the ladies performed exceptionally well. And then, you know, Coach can talk to you about the DMR, because that was insane as well. It's fantastic for our kids to go out and compete that hard and put a time up that was staggering. It's amazing.
Well, then Coach Cunningham, kind of going off that, you think about having to get all these, the distance medley relay, right? You're trying to get everybody to come together at the right time for that event and everything to kind of click just perfect. But to see everybody step up in that moment, what's that like? And what leads to that moment to where you guys can put such a good foot forward at the national championships?
Yeah, honestly, looking at that relay, I think we had four people, basically all four PR splits on that relay. I genuinely don't know if we could have done any better. And it's funny, you know, it's also four people that it's like, there's not many people that are going to walk away disappointed with the second place finish except for those four. And, yeah. And that's all right. It's still a great learning experience. And, you know, getting it all to come together on the day, ultimately, I think that's the hardest thing, and if I had a great answer on how to do that again, I'll let you know. But I think a lot of it's just me getting out of the way, just staying away from them, letting them get out there and be aggressive and just be themselves, honestly. But yeah, it was just a really exciting to watch, and yeah, it was fantastic.
Is that one of the secrets too when you go into recruit, like the mental makeup of some of these athletes, to where, you know, whether it's going to be the DMR or the women's 4x400 is stepping up in that moment, or the men's 4x400 meter relay anyway, but like, who's going to be a gamer? Like, who's going to train hard? But then it's like, all right, we're under the lights, we've got all these people, the best of the best with us. Like, that raises you to another level. You don't kind of pull back. Like, in recruiting, can you see some of that on these kids' faces?
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I don't. You don't know who's really going to be that gamer. You can follow some. You know, we're a numbers game, right? So it is what it is. So when you run track and field, you have a number put on your mile split account, and you can see their whole career. And you can look a little bit and go, oh, this kid's pretty good, pretty good, pretty good. Oh, my gosh, at state they blew up and they compete. So maybe that's a little bit, maybe the hunger in their eyes, you know, they want to prove something. But you know, there's other people that it's just like, whoa, what happened here? They just went crazy, so good. I did not expect that. So, you know, it's different. I wish we knew for sure who was going to step up and be that gamer when the lights are brightest. But it's hard.
The excitement of being at the national championships, but also there's a little bit of like that pain in your stomach that comes with it too, right? Because not everybody's going to have their best day exactly when you need it. And, you know, we look at all these other sports, it's the body of work through a season makes you an All-American. You got to be on your best at this day to be an All-American. How hard is that mentally to kind of go through some of these kids that something just doesn't go their way and they just end up on the short end when you know, man, I'm faster than them, but something in prelims didn't go right. Like, is that just the hard part kind of going through?
Yeah, you know, I think our sport, I've said this a lot, we don't have a win-loss record. We have to be great on the day. And we had some amazing stuff happen that, well, we talk about this a lot, going to the meet, Don't worry about the numbers. Overcome your ranking, and the rest will come. Just work hard to be your best on the day. And we had some people that overcame that and were able to make a final. At the same point, we had some people that did not do their best, and it's very difficult. It's hard. It's very hard for them. But for the most part, that's track and field. All right, you're not always going to be the best on the day. You hope, and coaches, we work really hard to try to get the kids to peak at the right time, and it's really, really tough to try to get them to be at their absolute best for one weekend. And know then we have to go through conference, and we have to do everything to get them right for national championships, especially if you're still chasing marks. If you're not in and you have to chase a mark at conference, you got to do it a little bit different. So it's hard to get the training to be focused perfectly on the weekend. I think a lot of times we just get luck into it a little bit. But we've been doing this a while, and so we have an idea, but it doesn't always work.
We're talking Bearcat track and field with head coach Brandon Masters and assistant Wick Cunningham. Wick, one of those guys that has really broken out this season. He stayed healthy throughout. Riley Witt, he's an All-American, puts up a 4.06 in the mile at the indoor championships. What have you seen out of this young man going from cross country now to this point?
Yeah, so this is a junior this year. What I've seen is three straight years of consistency and hard work. He's had a few injuries in the past, battled through them, but like, It's the 22 hours outside of practice. I mean, I don't know that he could be better. I genuinely don't. Practice is always fine, and that's good and all, but, like, he just does every little thing he can possibly do to get to that starting line and be the best version of himself, both mentally, physically, emotionally. Yeah, it's a breakout year, but it was really built on the past 2 years of consistency and building that foundation to allow this breakout to happen. And that's just really, really exciting to see when those breakouts finally do happen. And, you know, just happy to be a part of it with him.
And Riley, again, a junior, chance to make another big jump next year. Coach on the sprinting side, Dominic Sedlacek, is a young man that has really burst onto the scene this year. And he runs another school record in the prelims in the 60-meter dash last weekend. Man, a special young man. Is it kind of... All right, there's a little bit more we can pull from him, too, as we go throughout this next season.
Yeah, you know, I think Dom's a little bit like Riley in the sense that they believe in themselves. Dom doesn't do as much right as Riley does on the outside, so there's that. But he does a lot. But the thing about Dominic's so amazing is his mind, his will to win, his manifestation. He told me, I'm making finals. So I'll be in a place to go for the win. And I was like, yeah, okay, no, whatever. Early in the season, he goes, I'm going to run 6.6 something. I don't know how fast it's going to be, but I'm going to break that 6.7 barrier. Okay, Dom, we got a ways to go, but okay. he keeps doing it every year. He sets a goal. He knows himself, and he really manifests and really thinks about those times and what he can potentially do. And they're not out of the realm of possibility. Sometimes I think, that's a little aggressive, but okay, I'm going to support him. But then he does it. It's unbelievable, and being a guy that's been also a junior, has been around here 3 years, and he's just grown and developed, and he knows himself really well, and he puts it out there, and he tends to follow through and get it done. It's pretty amazing.
You know, if you're running a mile, and in Riley's case, a very fast mile, just over 4 minutes, like, there's a little bit more wiggle room. Like, he could be pretty close to perfect, but there's a little more wiggle room. If you're running 60, like, in 6.6, I mean, there's a certain amount of patience, too, that says, I'm trying to knock off a 100th of a second. Like, not many people, I think, have that kind of patience to go in and put in that work, to wait just to see that much improvement. But, obviously, it can be a difference between All-American or not.
Right. In the 60, you have to have a great start. And Dom was very upset after the race, even though he performed well. He got fifth overall. He was very upset. He goes, my start, it wasn't there. I didn't have it, and it's over. I mean, it's that fast. And honestly, the difference between 6.70 and 6.80, you got destroyed in your race, and it's 0.1. That's not the case over in the mile, right? But it takes it has to be perfection. And Dom knew he missed the start just slightly, was a little bit off, and didn't get that sub-6.7 number, but still very excited about being a top five. I mean, he didn't go in ranked in the top 10, so to see him do what he did, again, is a testament of a guy stepping up at the right time and being that player for us that is, again, when the lights are bright, some people show up, and he's definitely one of those.
Bearcat track and field wrapping up the national championships indoor, now heading outdoor, the Spire Distance Carnival in Leavenworth, Kansas. What's the plan for this week and as you guys wrap up one and go on to the next?
Yeah, we figured we didn't really need much of a break after, and no, we're going to move right on. No. In all honesty, you know, this is a great opportunity. St. Mary's is university. They always come up and have great competition at our meets. You know, it's going to be exciting to get down to their place. They have a fantastic outdoor track. And it's going to give a lot of our younger athletes a chance to go learn and experience, you know, kind of what a distance carnival, this environment's going to be like. And we've been having some luck with the weather in Maryville recently, so we're hoping that that carries on in Leavenworth.
Nice. Now, whenever you think about something like this, is there a good contingent of athletes going? Do you pick kind of a few that maybe didn't compete last week and dive in head first?
Yeah, we're looking at those younger athletes that maybe haven't competed in a little while now, and this is a good first Rust Buster meet for them. Some of them are trying out some new events for the first time, and they're pretty excited about it.
Now, it's probably more of a sprinting thing, right, to put the parachute on and run with it on the track, right, just get that some resistance. We're going to get some high winds in Maryville coming up tomorrow. Will you guys, all right, go run into the wind, walk back, and then we'll do it again.
Yeah, you know, we got to get used to it. We've been inside so much, and Hughes allows us to train at a high level inside. There's no wind in Hughes. So we actually had some kids yesterday, and it wasn't very windy. And they're like, oh, that rep killed me. I was into the wind. I'm like, oh, boy, we got some problems. We got to get used to that and get a little tougher going into the wind, because undoubtedly there's going to be some races. We do a lot of races to go around circles. You're going to find wind in your face at some point. You got to get used to it and understand how to run with it. So
last one I got before I let you guys go, again, off to Leavenworth, Kansas this weekend in a couple weeks after the Brian Clay Invitational in California. That's an awesome event to be able to go out and experience something new, especially for the kids that haven't traveled to the West Coast yet. But is that also one you look at of like good competition, maybe a speedy track, and kind of let's go out, put some good numbers there mid-season?
Yeah, it's a crazy meet, and Wick will tell you about some of the numbers, but to go out there and know that no matter where you are at, and our top level go out there, national championship level kids, the competition is hard to get into everything, but also expensive to get out there, let's be real. But I think that the big thing is when you go into a mile, for instance, 400, everybody in that heat is going to be almost identical times. And that's going to provide. Normally, you go into a meet and you get one competitor that you're racing against. They're going to have pacers set up, and everybody in that heat of 15 or whatever are going to have PRs within 0.5 seconds in like a mile. It's crazy. And how many heats of the mile was it last year?
There's probably like 50 or 60 heats of the 1500 out there, wow. And it is literally like. You know, you mentioned Riley Witt earlier. He'll go out there with a seed time of 3:44 for the 1500, and every single person in that heat will be within a half a second of
That's
him.
That's crazy.
So you're just racing yourself, which is good and bad. You know, it gets a little congested when you race yourself sometimes, but it's going to be fantastic, and a lot of good opportunities for them out there. I think about 7,000 to 8,000 athletes flock to that specific meet to get these opportunities.
Yeah, and then the reason why is the competition. Lack of wind, typically good weather, although we've gotten some rain recently out there the last little bit. But you're going to have these great opportunities to race, and there'll be 5K and 1,500 races that are kicking off at midnight. I mean, how late was the one? You guys didn't get back to the hotel.
No. We got back at like 2:30 in the morning or so. Yeah. But Drew finished just after midnight last year. But
yeah.
Still beat a lot of people that finished a little later.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy to go out there. That's a fun meet as a spectator. I mean, you could be – it's like 24 hours of track and field 3 days in a row. It's amazing, and that's the reason why we go. It's because we are peaking up for that. We are trying to get our kids to perform at the national level and try to get an entry into the national meet, and that's a place we look to do it.
Well, Northwest Missouri State on to the outdoor track and field season now after wrapping up the indoor season of the national championships this last weekend. Coach Masters, Coach Cunningham, appreciate you guys coming on. Good talk with you, and we'll catch up again soon.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That is Northwest Missouri State head track and field coach Brandon Masters, also assistant Wick Cunningham with us. We'll take a break. Back with more here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Compass Dental Group, providing full-service dentistry from braces and implants to same-day crowns and more. From Drs. Bruce Twaddle, Brian Viertaler, and Spencer Twaddle, Compass Dental Group proudly supports the Bearcats. For more information, CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at BearcatSports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at MaryvilleForum.com or at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
A couple players off of his squad, and Anna Carvalho Pereira and Antonin Laborde. And Coach, coming off a long trip down south on your spring break trip, got in with a lot of very good teams. And really, I think overall, you look at the performances, a few losses out of that, but overall, I think you feel good about the way the teams performed down there.
Yeah, that's right, John. Very happy. Men's team is 5 wins and 5 losses, so 500, and the women's team is 4-4. But then the 4 losses were 4-3 matches, so we were right there in every match we played.
Yeah, well, and you look at both the teams playing against some nationally ranked teams. On the men's side, Midwestern State was ranked number 9, UT Tyler was number 5, and then you look at on the women's side, Southeastern Oklahoma State number 27, UT Tyler number 22, and also Midwestern State number 1 there. So you're not afraid to go up against some of the top teams.
We have not been and never will be.
And it's beneficial, isn't it, in the long run, regardless of the type of team you have?
It does, John. I've learned one thing in 45 years of coaching. You've got to play competition. You know, a lot of coaches schedule easy opponents. They win the match. It used to be 9-0 in the old days, 7-0. But it doesn't push your athletes, okay? And we can get beat like we did with some losses, but they can learn more from playing a good match and feeling good about themselves, knowing that they're playing a quality opponent. And then when we play like an Ottawa yesterday, and this is an NEI team that went to the national tournament, you know, we beat them 7-0. So there you go.
Hey, you talk about Ottawa. That was a match in Ottawa against the Braves down there, I believe. And look, singles-wise, didn't even drop a set in the singles matches.
We did not. We played well, and it was a beautiful day for tennis, much like today and so forth, as makes you really want to go out and play.
Now, as I mentioned, we've got Dana and Antonin with us. Just talk a little bit about what they bring to your team.
Well, they're newcomers. Antone came in the fall, and we got off on a little bit of the wrong foot to start off with, nothing big or whatever. But since then, we've had a pretty good relationship, and he's having a good year. Kid's nationally ranked now. He was a highly sought-after player in junior college. He was number one player at Abraham Baldwin, which has been, you know, that was a national power for many years down there, and he was ranked nationally in his junior college. So he's, I think, 7-1 right now in his singles.
8-1.
Right?
Since yesterday. Thank you.
8-1. No, it's okay. And then Anna, she just came in January. She's from Brazil, and I'm really excited about her. We've been playing her at 5, but she's tearing up her opponents, so we moved her up to 4, and she's been doing pretty good in doubles too. But she's, you know, kind of blending right in and becoming a good team member. And I have to say, I've said before, I really like our teams this year as far as just the chemistry and camaraderie and all that. It's been a pleasure coaching them, you know, and they're doing everything they're supposed to and more. So we're really happy about that.
And to just talk about coming in, again, you've just been here a couple, 3 months now, but coming in from Brazil, and what attracted you to coming to Northwest Missouri State?
I like the university. I saw a lot of pictures and photos
The team very good. The level, like the level of the team, like pretty good. I like it. And yeah, I saw like a way to continue with my academic and playing tennis. That's, I love that part, so, yeah.
Well, that's very good. And also, Carol and Benny on the team coming from Brazil, is that, have they helped you out a little bit making the transition to coming to America and coming to Northwest?
Yeah, she's helping me a lot. Like, here, she's helping me. Vini, too, like, he's Brazilian. So, they are very good people.
And Anton, just kind of talk a little bit about you're coming into Northwest now, getting a chance to get on the court, and obviously doing well this spring, and the transition you made to coming to the Northwest.
Yeah, it was pretty hard at the beginning, as the coach said. In the fall, I didn't play that good, but yeah, I'm very happy about what I'm doing. And the question was like, what? Why I came here? Oh, the tennis program is very good. The coach is here since a long time, and they have been a very good team since a while. And yeah, I was very interesting.
Now again, talking about your record, what, 8-1, you were saying so far this spring. What's been the biggest change between the fall and the spring as far as the way you're playing?
I think in the fall you keep practicing, but with no matches. So I feel like I was not that focused at the practices, and I was not that motivated. But right now in the spring, you know, like having matches every week, I think it brings me more energy and more... more enthusiasm. So, yeah, I think.
And I would imagine, Mark, that's the case with everybody. Just after a while, you get tired of just playing the same people over and over. To be able to get out and play actual matches in the spring has to be something that everybody kind of thrives on.
Yeah, it does, John. You know yourself, man. You know, if you're playing all the time, then you're confident in your strokes and you got your timing and all that. But, you know, I don't even know if we played 5 tournaments in the fall, maybe 3 or 4. And, you know, there are a couple weeks in between hand, and he's right. You've got to play this game continuously. You've got to, if you want to play sharp and so forth, that's why, you know, that's really, you know, get your level going. I mean, I remember when we had the COVID fall, and, of course, we weren't allowed to play any matches, and all we could do was practice. And you'd think that was a long fall, and not knowing what was going to happen and all that. So glad that, you know, things have gotten back to normal, and it's just been outstanding now.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Southeast Missouri, or Southeast Oklahoma State matches, I should say. There are a couple wins for both teams, and what does that do for these teams confidence-wise?
Well, John, that's a regional match, so that's very important, and their women's team ranked nationally. But for the men, it's also a conference match. Okay, now that we've reconstructed the men's, and some breaking news just a couple days ago, which we're extremely happy about, Northeast Oklahoma, Northeastern Tahlequah, your favorite spot, they're starting their men's tennis back. So, you know, again, Mike Gracie's done a great job of getting this thing. Carnegie just started their team back, the men's team, a couple years ago. So we got plenty of men's team, and I'm really excited because I was worried at a time of, we were even going to have a league, or, you know, what was going to happen with men's tennis. But now it's going as strong as ever, and I'm really pleased about that.
You know, along those lines, your next opponent coming up, Arkansas, Fort Smith, new to the conference, but they've got a men's team as well.
You better believe it. I mean, we'll take every school that has tennis, and men and women. We started off playing them last year. We went down there, and we're going to have a good match with them. Little Rock or Fort Smith down there is, you know, they got tennis players in Arkansas too, you know.
Now, the Arkansas-Fort Smith match, is that home or away here? I think the schedule I saw had it being a home match coming.
It is a home match. On the master cylinder, it was basically a away match. But when we made the match, the other coach was retiring, basically what happened. And we were down there last year, so we just assumed that it would be in Maryville this year before looking. Details for me sometimes, anyway, we got that straight now. We're going to go play them here. They're coming on their spring trip, so that works out well. And then we may go down there the next 2 years, but everything's fine.
Well, and nice thing about that, first really home match you've had this season, so a chance to play on the Mark Roswell Tennis Center.
Yeah, we want to play on that as much as we can, since we're going to lose that after the season's over. They're going to start structuring our new facility, which is going to be on the other side of Hughes over there.
And in Antoine, just talk a little bit about having a chance now to play at home. I imagine that's going to be kind of nice to play on the Northwest campus here this coming up.
Yeah, I'm very excited to play there. Like, I'm more used there than another place, but I'm very excited. Let's see.
All right.
Yeah, I think I'm very excited, to be honest. Like, instead of long driving hours, you just wake up going to classes, of course, and then you just compete on your own course. It's pretty cool, yeah.
Try to get some fans out there on Friday. I think the weather's going to be a little bit better, in the mid-50s or whatever, and to watch. That always helps, too.
All right. Well, what time does the match start?
Is that 1 o'clock start?
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock start.
All right,
yeah.
So that sounds good. A good chance to watch this Bearcat men's and women's tennis teams as they're at home for the first time this year and they're playing some tough competition up to this point. But looks like some good things ahead for both of your teams.
Yeah, I know Jamie Hazen will be there. He's at every match, that's for sure.
No doubt. No doubt. Again, we've been talking Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis with head coach of the Northwest men's and women's teams, Mark Roswell, along with Antoinette LeBourne and Anna Carvalho Pereira. And we'll be back. We've got more coming up right after this time.
Thank you so much, John.
Support for KXEV KRNW is brought to you by Agriland FS, with 18 fast stop locations in southern Iowa and northwest Missouri, including South Main and Maryville, across from Applebee's. Fast stop is open 24/7. To find the nearest location, agrilandfs.com/faststop.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com. or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we turn our attention to baseball, we now have with us the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat baseball team, Tony Jandron. And Coach, a big week starts for you here today, as I know you're on hand over at Bearcat Field, getting ready to go with Central Missouri this afternoon.
Yep, we're a quick turnaround here, and you know, we're in the heat of conference play. So just got back from Pitt State, and here we are again. And a nice home stretch here. I think 8 of the next 9 here at home, starting off here with Central Missouri here today.
Yeah, and when you look at that stretch here at home, I imagine, too, that you have to feel good about that from the standpoint you played really well at home, 4-1 going into today's action here.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, we want to protect our own homeland here and make sure that we do our job here at home. But you know, that's something we got to learn and mature. When we go on the road, we got to win some games. And it's early yet. We're not even to that halfway point. So we're going to embrace a tough matchup today, and we're going to bring our best ball.
I guess before we talk a little bit more about the matchup here today with the Mules, you touched on the fact you were on the road this past weekend with Pittsburgh State. Looking on the outside and looking in there, it looks like one of the positives out of the weekend was the bats were still alive there, and were able to score a lot of runs down there.
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, we talk a lot about trying to get that race to 10, and, you know, we didn't find that. You know, we do that, and some things, you know, work out in our direction. And we just got to be a little bit more, you know, supportive of our staff and make sure that we do things together. And you're not always going to have 10 runs a game, but we certainly just want to make sure it's a team effort in what we do. There's clearly some positives, but we're not getting the results we wanted this past weekend. And we know it was some tough competition, but this league, there is no breaks. And hey, man, that's why I took this job. I know how tough this league is, and I embrace it. And our guys are going to start embracing it, and we got to rack up some wins.
You know, one of the things that stands out statistically anyway up to this point in the season for you that if you get through six innings with a lead, you're 9-0 right now. So it looks like the back end of the games you've been very good with.
Yeah, for sure. We like to pride ourselves in being a good late-inning team, but hopefully that's a byproduct of what we're doing throughout the game. I think we feel like our offense is tough to get out, and we want to continue that and make sure that, you know, there is no holes. We're 1-9. We're doing it. We're still growing, and we're still developing on the mound, and there's a lot of season left. So we just want to continue to, you know, chip away at these days here and just continue to get better. We had a really good practice yesterday. We're excited about today.
1 month in, what's the biggest things that really stand out for your team?
I think it's just trying to find ourselves a little bit in our identity. Obviously, some of these programs we faced, you know, in the last 5 years, we haven't had a ton of success against, and we got to get over that hump. And some of that is just going out there and compete, not worrying about who's across the field from you, and embracing that time with your teammates, because there's been a lot of time spent with these guys together. We put a lot of work in since the fall, and we got to go trust our preparation and play our style of baseball. And we haven't put together a bunch of full games yet, and that's what, you know, we got 9 wins to show for it. We might have played 1 or 2 complete games, so they know there's more there, and we're excited to keep attacking this thing. And our goal is, the whole time has been, we want to play our best baseball in May. We just want to continue to get better as a group.
Again, mentioned you're 4-1 at home this season. Again, a short sample size here, but what's been the biggest differences from playing at Bearcat Field to being on the road for you?
Well, obviously, being on our natural surface is a huge advantage. There's a bunch of turf all over this conference, and I'm a natural guy. I love our home field, and obviously, our guys are used to it. They're accustomed to this thing, and they embrace it. They just want to protect their homeland, right? So they always bring it when we have home games, and like I said before, we got to get over that hump, and we're going to bring it out every game, and something that we look to mature on and look to get there.
One of the changes this year for the MIAA schedule, you have a lot more Tuesday matchups with conference opponents, such as what you have today with Central Missouri. When setting up your starting rotation and getting everything, what kind of challenges does that play as opposed to maybe the way the conference schedule has been in the past, where all the majority of the games were weekend three-game series? How does that change your focus on preparing for games in the midweek?
Well, I think it's just more attention on the depth of your roster, and you know, we got to find more of that, but that's something that we're open to, and we're trying to get more guys out there and get some more experience. But that's where strength and numbers are really going to help you, and we just try to win that game. You know, that's kind of where our focus is at, and then we'll see what we kind of got for the next game. And as we start developing roles and guys start building up their arm strength, and they we start establishing clear spots for these guys, and it'll make it a little bit easier for us as we get through the season a little bit.
Now, you mentioned as well 8 out of the next 10 games at home at Bearcat Field. I imagine that you like that standpoint from the way the schedule works for teams in the northern part of the MIAA, that you go south to play a lot of non-conference games to start the season, but everything starts to even out a little bit here.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, it's always great getting at home, but that's a challenge with northern teams, and that's not everything I've been accustomed to my entire career. And quite frankly, this has been the easiest travel I've ever had in the spring in my 12 years. So it's just something you got to embrace, but it should get you battle tested. It should get you tough, and we just got to embrace that and continue to plug forward.
Now, you've got Central Missouri today. They're coming in 17-4 on the season, ranked 3rd in the nation. Obviously, a very strong program in Central Missouri through the years. What's some of the biggest keys you see as you match up with them here this afternoon?
I think, honestly, the focus is on what we're trying to do. I mean, our coaches do a ton of scouting. We're all over it. We know what to expect, but these guys got to go out and play our style of baseball, and that's what's most important to me today. We want to play our style 1-9. And we want to see where that leaves us at the end of the day. Like I said before, we haven't put it together a 1-9 game. Just 1 or 2 times maybe we've had some complete games. So that's our challenge. We're internally focused, and that's what we want to do. We want to have a good product on the field, and See where that leads us.
I would imagine it's that same strategy as you look toward the weekend as well with Arkansas Fort Smith coming to town.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we got to take day by day right now, and then we got the meals here today. But we'll be digging into that first thing tomorrow morning and making sure that we do our job and just chip away, trying to get one by one here.
And, again, Central Missouri this afternoon. One of the nice things about having this home stretch is, too, just an opportunity for fans of Bearcat sports, fans of Bearcat baseball, to come out and take in this team and see what you've got to offer here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's important. That's why these guys have been out in the community early this fall. They want to get their name out there. They want to be mentors. We got a Little League Day here this Saturday. Today is going to be beautiful weather. Obviously, those that follow us, we'd love the support here this weekend and today.
And I think that's something that's very important that you've been trying to implement with this program is getting a chance to have the community be a part of this team. The Little League Day that you're talking about, too, just a great opportunity for a lot of younger players or younger kids to get up close and personal with this team and find out what you guys are all about.
Yeah, we want to bring a ton of energy, and I think that's, I think some people that have came out to some of our home games have certainly seen that, and we want to create a fun environment, and we've had a couple of kids come in and be bad boys for us, and we embrace that, and we love that, and our kids love it, and we want to give back to this community. We know what this community is all about, and it's one of the reasons that I wanted to come here. This is different, and that's really important to us.
Yeah, I think that opportunity to be a bat boy you talked about, I think that means a lot to kids where they can look up to the college athletes and again, get them early as far as being fans of Bearcat sports.
Yeah, that's where it starts. That's the youth development and having a good system in place and having people to look up to. That's what fuels you, and that's really important to keep this game in the right direction.
Is that something, too, that the players are enjoying just an opportunity to relate to the younger kids?
Oh, yeah. Every time we get a bat boy, they're slapping hands with them every time. They're helping them when to go get the bat, and they have them break us up before and after the game. So they certainly don't ignore them. They keep them involved. They're like a part of the team when they're in that dugout.
All right. Well, Coach, it's been great having you with us on the Coach's Show here today, and good luck this afternoon as you face the Central Missouri Mules.
Appreciate it. Go Bearcats.
All right. Again, that's the head baseball coach at Northwest Missouri State, Tony Jandrin. Again, this afternoon, Northwest at home as Central Missouri comes to town to face Northwest Missouri State Bearcats. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Talking Northwest Missouri State softball now with head coach Naomi Tejas. Coach, good to see you. And, of course, it's a big day, right?
Yes.
Think about your Los Angeles Dodgers getting a win over the Chicago Cubs to open up Major League Baseball, right?
The Dodgers. Boo.
San Diego native. You love the Padres, right?
Yes. Go Pods, go.
So you did not wake up at 5 a.m. to watch today's game?
Nope. Never will.
Never will. So, but on that token, you're knee-deep right now in softball with your own team. But college softball around the country is happening right now. Major League Baseball starting up. Like, do you immerse yourself in that whenever you leave home? Or are you kind of like, hey, I get enough of this day-to-day?
No, it's always on the TV. Whether it's softball, I think I watched the rerun of the Florida-Texas game last night just because I wanted to. Something's always on the TV regarding baseball or softball.
Is it purely entertainment, or is part of you too like watching some of these coaches and strategies and seeing how certain things work out?
Mostly so I can just learn. You can always learn something new. How coaches do things, why they do certain things in certain situations. But usually it's not just background noise.
So you played at New Mexico first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then DePaul. You've been at North Dakota. You've been around. You've got a lot of connections. How often are you reaching out, or folks reaching out to you and kind of sticking with some of these coaches and just the feedback throughout?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, my mentor, who my head coach at DePaul, I know that I can call him at any point in time. He's now retired. I'm living his best life, but I know that I can pick up the phone and call him. I'm still really close with the head coach at North Dakota. He gave me the opportunity to be his assistant, and I learned a lot underneath him. So just being able to reach out, and especially right now when it feels like, you know, we're just scraping out, you know, hits and trying to get a win.
The Bearcats at 10-15 right now. It's been tough. You played some really good competition, but, you know, through the weekend with losses to Rogers State and Northeastern, you're in every single game.
Mm-hmm.
Even the 12-7 loss to Rogers, you've got the bases loaded in the seventh inning.
Yep.
Does it feel like it's just right there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we keep talking about it. It's, you know, we want our players to want to be the one up to bat with the bases loaded. We want them to want to be the one to get the big hit, the big strikeout, whatever it is. And so, you know, it's going to take one player to ignite us. It's going to take one play to just get us going in the right direction.
How big is a series like today? The Bearcats going on the road, playing at 3-5 against Central Missouri in Warrensburg. Is this one of those? I mean, steal a couple on the road, maybe that gets things going.
Absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, getting, as much as we're like, yes, we love home games, I think maybe getting on the bus, getting away from it just for a little bit. It's a day trip. It's not too bad. Hopefully we can snag a win. And I think, you know, there's something to be said about us getting our offense going right away. You know, in the preseason tournaments, I feel like we score early. We give ourselves an opportunity. Lately, we've been fighting from behind in the bottom of the first, so that doesn't really help.
So trying to find some of those key hits as you go throughout. But it still feels like the pitching's been solid.
Yeah.
Defensively, this team's playing well. There's some errors early in the season, but that's been cut down a lot. Does it kind of feel like you're about where you want to be in those regards?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think, you know, the 8 spot that we gave up against Rogers wasn't easy. But I think at the same time, it was a wake-up call for a freshman, and she even said I got humbled. And that's okay, but, like, again, we have to compete against these teams. We have to keep getting ourselves in positions to be able to win ball games.
So you mentioned it there, but you've got a lot of young players that are stepping into that circle pitching for you right now. Erica Gore and Ryan Moore. You've got a sophomore and Olivia Moyer, too, who is terrific the other day. Maybe it's not terrible to get some of these growing pains now.
Absolutely. Let's get it out of the way. Let's rip off the Band-Aid. And, I mean, not only are we young there, but we're also young up the middle. You know, Kirsten and Malia have started every game for us just as freshmen up the middle, and they've handled it really well. But I also think that, you know, our leaders in Lily and Skylar and Gage, you know, they are taking a role of, you know, helping the young ones through these growing pains, which is nice to see.
Northwest softball getting set to see UCM coming up this afternoon, a doubleheader at 3-5. The previous weekend, some pretty rough conditions. You think about the wind blowing out on Friday and then blowing in on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, every fly ball that went up, your outfield was really good, especially Lily Filger tracked down a lot. Feels like every ball that's hit the shortstop, Kirsten Todd's going to find a way to get there for a sure out. How much of that is self-driven that they want to be great defenders, and how much of that's just the X's and O's of you guys kind of stressing day in, day out of we need to be, do these small things?
Yeah, I know. I think, you know, it's not against our pitching stuff, but we're not going to strike people out. That's not who we are. We're going to get the ball in play. And so our defense knows that they have to be solid every single day. And those two work relentlessly, not only, you know, just in what we have planned for practice, but in batting practice too. They challenge their range. They see what they can get.
Have you ever had a weekend quite like that to where
you
wrap up Friday and then the downpour hit? So then it was just cold and awful and in the 30s for Saturday. But you still battle, but it's tough.
It wasn't easy. I mean, I think we went from like being in shorts and I had a heated vest the next day. So I was really confused.
The San Diego coming out.
right.
Game-to-game adjustments, how big are those right now? Friday, for instance, Skylar Piper has a tough game one against Rogers. Nearly hits for the cycle in game two, four hits, had a home run. How much of that is just a mindset right now and those conversations between games?
Yeah, I think, you know, with her, it's so much of she wants to always get a hit, and obviously we always want her to get a hit, but it's just her competing with the pitcher, you know, nobody else. The defenders go make a play, that's fine. As long as she puts a ball in play, gets a hard hit, you know, it's changing her mindset of who she's competing against. You know, it's one-on-one. It's not one against, you know, nine out there. And that obviously helped her a ton, and she was able to carry that into Saturday as well.
And so trying to get some of that length, you know, the top of the order, what you're going to get. Grace Lubbin finally breaks through with the home run. Does it feel like, all right, someone's coming around right there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, we stress approach a ton at practice. And yesterday we were really locked in, so that was fun to see. And so our spirits are high still. You know, we're going to continue to compete, and hopefully we come out on the winning side.
Midweek game against UCM, or a couple games coming up here today. Give us a scouting report. They're sitting around 500. What are your expectations?
Yeah. I mean, I think for them, they can swing it pretty well. I think they're kind of similar to us, and they've competed some really good teams, and then there's some losses that you're like, maybe they should have won. But the same could be said for our schedule as well. So I think it's going to be competitive. I think the win's going to be howling, as it always is. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully Ball stay in the park.
you follow this up with going out to Hayes and Kearney, which the weather's always kind of crazy out there too.
Yeah,
that's a tough one when you think about Hayes playing really well. Kearney's kind of that in between also.
Right. And you think Hayes, you know, with them, like, we have to just pitch it well enough to keep us in a ball game. Usually they have good arms that can shut teams down. So we just have to pitch it well enough to keep us within striking distance.
And are you taking the heated vest this weekend?
Always. I don't care. It's 80 degrees. That thing's coming. Just in case.
You never know.
You never
know in the Midwest. Coach Tejas, thanks for the time. Good luck today.
Thank you.
That's Northwest Missouri State head softball coach Naomi Tejas with us. The Bearcats meeting up with Central Missouri in Warrensburg at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock this afternoon. That's going to wrap things up for us here from Pizza Ranch, our final KXEV Maryville KLRNW Chillicothe Bearcat Coaches Show of the Year. Thanks so much for tuning in with us since August through this point. And, of course, we'll be back again with more coaches shows coming up next August as we get set for the 2025 fall sports season. But for all your Northwest Missouri State coverage from here on out, be sure to head to BearcatSports.com or KXEV.org. Thanks so much to everyone involved with today's show and throughout the year, all the coaches we've had coming on for the Northwest Athletic Department, and Bearcat Sports Information Director Colin McDonough for helping us set this up every week. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton saying so long from Pizza Ranch.